Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome to the Live Fire Media Show, episode number 18, where we talk about guns, gear, games, movies, and so much more. Your host tonight are the always entertaining Elliot of Rainshot.com. Yeah, that's you. Two thumbs up. And me. Oh, one thumb up, one thumb down. Wow. Huh.
Let's do this whole podcast, Dave. And I'm going to just use sign language.
Huh. Well, I'm going to be talking to myself for the evening then. So, what do we have going on here? Oh, wow. Got my windows up. What's new, man?
Well, let's start it out on a pretty good note. I got an email from Savage. Can you see this here?
I can see the imagery a little bit, but okay. Couple of Savage guns.
Look at the barrel on the one in the middle.
Holy, there's a middle one. I just see
that. Like, oh, I'm sorry. The one on my left.
One that's insanely long was like a 30 inch barrel, probably.
It is a 30 inch barrel.
And let me guess, it's a 220 Swift.
It is my 220 Swift. It was completed in the custom shop a couple days ago.
I'm not gonna lie. I may not give two shits about 220 Swift, but that's pretty cool. What's the other one? Is the other one also yours?
Another 220 Swift? So Larry Case, Guns and Cornbread, big shout out to Larry. We should have him on the podcast, by the way.
We're good.
Larry Case and I, you know, he and I started the hashtag Long Live the 220 Swift campaign. Yep.
Well aware of that.
Yeah, you helped me with that. And did I? Yeah, you certainly did. We helped me spread the word. We did a bunch of big social media campaigns. Okay. reached out to manufacturers. We had Leupold, Sierra Bullets, Hornaday, Remington, Timmy Triggers, all of those, NDT Chassis. All those manufacturers got behind the effort.
Okay.
I didn't
realize you had that much support.
That's
badass.
And my buddy Eric, who at the time was the marketing director for Remington, maybe we had run the campaign a couple months, and he called me one day, and he's like, "Hunter, you're never going to believe this." He said, "We got like 5 orders for 220 Swift rifles last month." And I'm like, 5? That's it? And he's like, "No, you got to understand.
That's a big deal.
We hadn't had an order for a 220 Swift rifle in like 10 years or 5 years.
Right.
And then within a month, 6 weeks time, they had 5 orders.
Damn.
And he's like, "You must be at least gaining a modicum of traction."
Yep.
Yeah. And then he goes, "But the bad news is Remington's closing."
Right. It's a sinking ship. It had been along for a long time, but you know.
Yeah. You know, I was like, damn, right as we was. But that's when I reached out to my good buddy Argent Savage, and this was like 2 years ago at SHOT.
Yeah.
And
I vaguely recall that.
Ask him, "Hey, can y'all build me a Savage and 220 Swift?" And he was like, "I don't know, maybe." And then a probably not turned into a maybe, turned into a I think so, turned into a yeah.
Right.
So here we go.
I mean, it's funny. Like, I say it absolutely in the most non-dickish way of like, I truly don't give a shit about the cartridge. I really don't. But the fact is that the way you talk about it, it is still a great speed, you know, high speed round. You know, this still has great performance out there.
It's the king of speed right now.
Well, regardless of what my point being though, is you do have some companies thinking about it and looking at it. instead of going and go, oh, let's make the 226 Swift or some bullshit cartridge, that they're going to like, oh, but this time we can put it in this other chassis that's the same as the chassis as the caliber of 226 from before.
Right.
Let's put in something new, which makes no sense, and then we've got to market and sell this damn thing. No, hell with that. Take the current bull technology, take the current power technology, and yeah, keep putting it into 220 Swift because clearly the shit can rock.
And that's kind of
cool, man. I'm excited for you.
When Hornaday and Sierra got on board, they were like, you know, that's cool because there's nothing out there that can run with it right now. Commercially available. There's Wildcats that certainly can, or even probably
some Wildcats, Jesus.
But, you know, they're like, so the other rifle, I mentioned Larry Case, I had mine built as a bench gun.
Right.
You know, so when we were specking it out, RJ's like, how long of a barrel do you want? I'm like, how long of a barrel can you get me? Like, a lot of barrel blanks come at 30 inches.
You're like, all right, 30 inches.
I said, okay. And then Larry Case wanted one more for a hunter. And so he specced his out, I think, to 24, 26 inches.
I was going to guess it was 24, 26, something like, look at that. I mean, holding the phone up to the camera isn't the greatest thing in the world, but yeah, that's kind of what I was going to guess. I'm still a long barrel, but that 30-incher, Jesus.
I don't know if I can text you this and you can share it better.
Well, it's not so much text as actually if you can email it to me.
Oh, I can. I probably should have had already done that.
That's all right. Shit happens, man.
But, I, you know, in the sake of my excitementness, I'm just going to reply to your email.
And I don't know. Again, you need to. I mean, I guess we need to hop on here sometime when we're not recording, and you take a look at this whole StreamYard thing too, and see if there's. I assume you can share the screen as well, but being the free version, I have no idea. So maybe it's locked out to just me.
Yeah, that's fine. I emailed you a really poor JPEG of what RJ went to the custom shop and took a photo. I think they were pretty well hot off the press.
Okay.
And so,
all right. Let me share the screen.
I wish I could express to you my excitement. I think you know.
Well, I get. I think more than you realize.
I know, because but.
Bam.
There you go. I mean.
Oh, let's see if I can.
So yeah. That's their right feed, left eject.
That's cool. That's so cool.
You know, when I told him, I was like, I want to spare no expense on this rifle.
Right.
I said, I want you to build this with what Savage has got for your utmost capability of accuracy right out of the box. I'm not changing nothing on this rifle. Like the Remington, you know, it was their varmint. It was their top tier rifle.
Right.
We put a MDT chassis. We put a Timmy trigger. We changed a lot of things in chasing accuracy. With this rifle, the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stick a Leupold optic on it.
What about that muzzle? Looks like it's threaded.
Half by 28, baby.
No. I understand that, but what are you going to put on the muzzle?
I'm
a thread protector. You can run a kind
of device. No, I'm going to run a can on it. But I'm probably going to have to run a 30 caliber can on it.
Okay.
Because of the pressure, but I talked to my buddy at B&T, and he is going to verify that my B&T can will work on.
Right.
And I'm like, because this the B&T don't have a does not have a barrel length restriction for their 5.56.
Right.
So he's going to verify that.
Well, and usually those restrictions always come down to being shorter barrels, not so much longer. I mean,
right.
But again, I'm not going to pretend to know shit about 220 Swift, so I'm not going to speculate Jack, because that'd just be dumb.
Well.
Interesting, man. That's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, just to give you an idea of the pressure, let's see. What is their pressure?
Man, if you don't have, like, numbers of 223, like, numbers, it's just going to be, like, numbers to me. I'm like, okay.
All right. So
I don't keep meaning that to memory, man. I have no other crap to retain from day to day.
So the 220 Swift is around 62,000 PSI.
Okay.
And let's do 223. Let's do 5.56.
Are you asking your AI?
No, I'm just on Google. No.
Well, half that shit's answered by AI anymore, but whatever.
So they're around 62,000. Oh, so they're so according to Google, which I should be on Sammy, is right. The 556 is only about 1,000 PSI less than
less. Okay.
So if that's the case, then the BNT would work fine.
Yeah, yeah. One would think.
Especially, you know, with the no barrel length restriction. With a 30-inch barrel, my pressure is going to be dropped off significantly.
Right. Very cool, man.
Wow. So I am Fate of the Gods.
Okay. It's like some small batch thing or something?
It's honey mead.
Oh, okay.
My buddy Ben, he knows I'm into the Nordic Viking stuff. I love all things Nordic. And so for my birthday, he got me this great big old horn drinking. Of course, it's drinking in Clorox right now. And he got me a couple jugs of honey mead, Nordic style Viking traditional honey mead.
That's cool. I said my only real experience with drinking meads was going to the Renaissance Festival. They actually have usually multiple vendors selling mead, and I'll be goddamn, it's good.
It's good. When we went to the Czech Republic, we left Prague on the way to, and I'm going to probably butcher the name of this town, but it was called Uherský Brod, and it's the town that the Czech CZ factory's in.
Okay.
And when we got to our hotel, they were having like this, it was a wine and mead festival, like three blocks from the hotel.
Interesting.
So Zach and I walked there. And now, of course, I don't speak Czech. And they didn't
barely speak English.
So what I did, man, is I just got a bunch of money and I would hold coins in my hand and I would point to what I want. And they would just take it out of my hand and they would, you know. And I don't think they screwed me over, but man, when I bought a bunch of honey mead and we had a wonderful time.
No, I've always heard and understood the Czechs are really cool, really nice people, and that Prague is absolutely awesome.
Prague was a little busier than what I would like.
Well, that didn't take much for you though, man.
That's true. I don't like a lot of people.
Right. I mean,
but that was gorgeous. Prague was gorgeous, but we got out of, you know, like I got to mingle with the people in the smaller towns that aren't touristy.
Right. That's always cool.
You know, there were a lot of them that spoke at least broken English.
Right.
But they were some of the coolest people I'd ever met. Very pro-gun, very pro-freedom.
Well, like they're the only country that has anywhere near the level of gun freedom as we have.
That's true. That's exactly right. And I think they're probably, as far as gun laws go, they're the most lax in the EU.
Oh yeah, by far.
Philippines
are pretty okay, but
yeah.
But again, I think Prague is still like the next best to the United States.
Man, and you know the architecture is amazingly gorgeous.
Oh no, the old school world shit.
Yeah.
Now that's what I would like to see.
It was, you know, I tell you, we got to spend 2 days in Prague, and then we took a big bus, but on our way to. And it was like 4 hours, but you know, like everything we drank, we ate, the food, the people, it was an amazing experience. I look forward to going back.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was probably, I bet it was 6-8 years ago. No, it's maybe eight or nine, 10 years ago when I went.
6, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. I can't remember, man. I'm 51.
No.
You know,
shit, shit totally runs together for sure. That's absolutely for sure. Shit totally runs together.
But anyway, I didn't mean to just spew that upon you, but you asked, and I was just itching to tell you about it.
Never apologize.
I don't think I said apologize. I was like, I don't know. Anyway, we can rewind the tape and have Judge Mathis.
The tape? Jesus. Here we go. So, you ever seen these things? Infinity? Infinite defense targets?
Not in person.
That's why I sent you a picture, the other day of these things. So, it's like a rubbery material. I've got the picture shown here is the USPSA IPSC size target. And I have another one that's an anatomy target. So it's the more human shape. It actually shows you cut out lines for heart, lungs, you know, liver, and has a T-box in the head. But yeah, when you hit these things, it pops like old shoot and see targets. But then you just spray paint back over them and then keep going. And they're good. They're good for like thousands of rounds.
Okay. Are they expensive?
There you go. Anatomy one. There you go. I have this to do. $150.
So not really.
Reusable up to 110 rounds per square inch.
Oh,
damn. Yeah. C-zone target stands. Oh, yeah. You see, you've got, oops, little one of the squared game one circle drill. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Half size, $60. Okay, that's cool. And then, yeah, I've got the full size, this one then. Yeah, reusable for up to 7,000 rounds. There you go. And they had a good round count somewhere. So 7,000 rounds you can put to that thing. Yeah, how cool is that?
I mean, that's pretty cool, man.
Right? I mean, yeah, you think $150, but, you know, I think of cardboard targets aren't they're not cheap, but they're not expensive. You know what I mean? If you're shooting a lot and you're buying stickies to go along with the cardboard to cover them up to keep it looking clean.
Yeah, but how many can – all right, so here's a question. Sure. How many rounds do you think you could shoot into a piece of cardboard and putting little stickies over top of it and it still be feasible?
Not 7,000 rounds.
No. I mean, no.
I think like a USPSA match and one squad who shot out the A zone, you know, maybe two squads from a USPSA match, you know, but then you get to like the sixth squad, it's all pasties. It's all it is.
Right. It's pasties. You know? It's all pasties.
So 7,000 rounds, that's a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hell of a lot.
And the fact is, it's not that you're just putting a hole through it. As long as you paint it back up, you're going to see your impact. You're going to see
it. Right.
I mean,
you know, you get pasties on pasties and you shoot it, they just kind of start flooding around.
Right. And it looks like a fist hole through or a 12 gauge hit it.
Right.
But these things, and you can, of course, you can use it on a shotgun as well. I don't know. I don't think the wad's not going to punch through it because it's pretty thick stuff.
Right.
And the two that I have, I didn't put any shotgun into them because I just got them out and I wasn't really sure. And I don't know. We shot them a bit from the photo I sent you. Main thing was I had
did you text it to me?
Yeah, I texted it to you.
I don't know that I got it.
Here we go. Oh, no, you got it. Here's the usual. Like Hunter, he blames me for not replying to text, but then, you know, Hunter doesn't say shit when I text him things. Oh, yeah, here's what I texted you. I did text you a late Happy Independence Day. And then on Monday, I said, Indiana Jones is getting rebooted. That's lame. And yes, and there you go. There's all, hold it back up there. I'll make you, I don't know how to do it now. we know what we're, oh Jesus, we know what we're doing here. Oh, good God.
Oh, there you go.
That works. There you go. There's the Infinity targets. If you're watching this, if you're listening to us, obviously the target's overlaid with my VP9 on top of it and a bunch of black dots in it because we shot the absolute piss out of it.
And you painted them over and it was fine?
I haven't painted them over yet. They're just sitting in my garage because I didn't have any paint with me. But I'll probably gonna paint it up here next day or two and take them out with me Sunday because we're going to shoot an IDPA match, which is not my norm Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Well, I like shooting USPSA, but it's getting to the point where I really only have time to go to one club match a month.
Right.
And that's Oxford. It's my actual, like my home range, but it's become a pretty popular match. And if you're not on point, like Saturday morning when registration opens up for the following Sunday, you're going to have a tough time getting in. And because the number of shooters are out there at it, what it turned into was like a little over half a day is becoming almost an all day thing. And it's like, man, it's fun. I like seeing some of the people, but I'll just go on my own time to go shoot and set up my own scenarios and shit. It's like, screw it. But the IDPA is a lot smaller scale. I think they said we're done by noon. So we're going to go shoot that match and then test fire a couple things.
Is it just a single handgun?
IDPA? Yeah.
I mean, are you running just your one or are you going to take a few?
I mean, I'll take whatever I'm going to run for IDPA and I'll probably take something else to mess with the target.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to take it. You know, a lot of people take two or three guns and alternate.
No. I think I'll probably run the VP9F that was in that photo I sent you. And for fun, I'll still bring along the Prodigy since I've only put a couple hundred rounds to this thing so far. And play some other stuff, but not be out there all damn day. But main thing is, yeah, I want to drag this target back out there because, yeah, it thinks pretty cool. I mean, I'd like to see how well, granted my eyes don't have shit anymore, how well can I see the impacts at like 100 yards, you know?
I like the fact that it contrasts black versus white with the impact.
Well, oh, yeah. No, that's wicked cool because the whole thing is just black, and then you just, yeah, keep throwing more paint over it, and it pops black. It's like
a shooting see.
It's like a shooting see, but it's just heavier duty and bigger in size. I've looked at these things for a long time of wanting to get them.
Are you going to write a review for Range Hot?
Of many things that I have going, yeah. I got to do my own damn site, too. I looked at that the other day, and I put up links for Lifefire Media on my Instagram and X. I was like, oh, God, my site's got awful looking. It's so bad.
Lifefire Media?
It's terrible looking.
I wish you wouldn't have said nothing.
It's funny thing is I know enough IT shit, but I don't do web code like at all. Well, I shouldn't say that. I can work in PHP and HTML for work. So when it comes to using WordPress, dude, I'm like all thumbs with this shit. And even one of the widgets I have dropped in that has my Instagram feed, it's outdated, so it's not updated for shit. And just another back burner thing, man. Instead, I need to just start pumping out some reviews, putting them out all on your site, because I have a half dozen reviews written.
It's not bad.
No, it's terrible. Don't give me that. It's terrible.
It's not. Hey, there's ladies clickers again.
It's terrible.
Okay, ladies. It's really not.
Well, I appreciate that.
Here's the thing, too, Dave. It's really a good website, man. And here's something that I feel, not that I'm an expert, because Range Hot is, it is what it is, but I think simplicity and ease of navigation.
Sure.
And if you, the more you put on the site, the longer it takes for it to load for people with slower connections.
Agreed.
So if you keep it relatively simple and clean, then it's going to load fast for people. It's not going to be hard to navigate, and you're going to get your point across. As long as the content is good and the website looks decent, which yours does, I don't think I would sweat it.
I know, but you know me. I'm a very visual person.
Sure, I know.
It's just I don't like it that basic. It drives me nuts. But, all right. Well, either way, I still need to update the damn thing.
A guy. If you need somebody to jazz it up a little bit, I've got a guy that's really good.
That implies that I have money to put into it.
Well, he's kind of like a la carte.
Okay.
You know, like he had a conversation with Larry Case about Guns and Cornbread, which, it's a good site, but it's a little hard to navigate. And he was like, "What's your budget
on it?" But yeah,
and he's like, "What's your budget?" And I can give you your most bang for your buck based on your budget.
Right. I'm like, budget of $0.
Well, you might want to, but
I'm kidding, man.
I think the damn bottom just fell out over here, man.
Oh.
Like, it's been hot as fish grease all day. And all my animals are staring at the front of the house. So I don't know what's going on outside.
It's warm here. My wife is outside, and so the bugs are eating her up. So something else here to show you.
The monsooning.
Monsooning. Actually, I pulled up another website. We're bullshitting. So, yeah, the Infinity Defense Targets, man. I check those things out, man. You might even find some use in those things.
Okay.
I tend to put some more out there because I think they're pretty slick.
Yeah, man.
Here's another screen share. Because I have something else I just got into play with.
Damn.
I'm
going to check this weather report because all hell is breaking loose just outside my front.
Here you go. Let's see. Is that no? Which one do I have? Ooh, deals. So a friend of mine, I'll bugger off. a friend of mine at D&T Optics, he sent me one of their thermal night sights. The, oh, where did it go? I was gonna,
woof.
What? Looking at your weather?
Yeah. If I lose power.
Oh, yeah, it looks fun. Yeah. we'll know what happens if you just disappear.
It just winks out. Holy moly. It should be gone by midnight.
But nice.
We need to rain, man. Anyway, my apologies.
Just, no, you're good.
I heard this, and all my cats are like, what the hell? So,
right. Just downpouring. And we could use it. We got this bits of rain, but no. So I was saying, my buddy at D&T Optics, I bumped into him at GunCon the week, and he had a bunch of the thermal night sights that they have on display. So I was talking to him about getting one back in the spring for the Moons Out match, and just timing and shit just didn't happen. Wasn't a big deal. I was like, dude, can I still get one to mess with? I'll put it on a High Point AR or High Point gun in general. Do some shit with High Point with it, but also I was like, I'll do a review on it for Range Hot. And he was like, yeah, man. So he sent me this one, the TNC-335R.
Yeah. You have that now?
Boom. Oh, hell. I do.
Whoa, that damn thing's expensive.
Yeah, but honestly, the fact that it's weapon mounted and you're getting thermal and digital night vision, I think it's really not a bad deal for what you're getting out of it.
That is absolutely a good deal for the amount of equipment you're getting.
Right. And not only that,
but wow.
I mean, but you can type it into your phone, it records video.
Really?
Yep. I think it does audio too, I think, or it can. Might be a different model. I'm not sure on that one. I gotta read more into it. I got the app on my phone. There's a ballistic calculator with the thing on the apps. I mean,
there's getting a lot of hardware.
Yeah, but you're getting a lot of feature for that price. That it's like this thing's actually
$2,200. I mean, I remember when night vision was $10,000.
Well, it still kind of is. It depends on what you're getting.
Well, but I mean, like even your like Gen 1 stuff.
Oh yeah. No, you can get Gen 3 stuff for $5,000. Like a single eye. Setup that's somewhat feasible. I use that term.
Yeah. Right,
but yeah. And so you can see right here, you can see it's got the, you know, black and white thermal. So the white is hot, or you can reverse it. So the black is hot. You can turn it to the red spot on black and white is hot. And then you do the whole, like the Predator style. I call it the four color. The ballistic calculator. And then, yeah, the digital night vision. So digital night vision, obviously is not quite the same as like analog night vision, but built in this application, it's pretty sweet. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Look at him hunting pigs with it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got a rangefinder on it?
Yes. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, there's a lot of, like, content with this gun or this optic. So I'm going to reach out to a buddy that I know. He's done some hog hunting around. Or not hog. I don't have hogs here. Coyote hunting. So I'll see if I can do some coyote hunting with this thing and get some footage of it. Get some good 223 hollow points that'll fucking blow their heads off. But yeah, and if not, I don't know. I guess I'll just make some cool night vision footage shooting at targets. And if I can't get out hunting with it, we'll see.
I just want an M for my lever gun in 45-70.
Okay, on lever gun, that'd be cool. But of course, mine's 38 special. But that was the thing I ran to. I was like, man, what am I going to put this thing on? Because I don't have everything. I'm like optic heavy for once. And I was like, well, I guess I can always start on with high points then. Screw it.
Put it on that high point HP15, man.
That's what I'm saying. I'll throw it on there. I'll post some picture up with it on it here before long.
Or I'll get one and put it on that 220 Swift.
There you go.
what I could do with that is I could go mosquito hunting at 300 yards.
The thermal has like a 10x zoom on it. So, I mean,
no way. It's not just one power.
No, the thermals by default, it's like 2.5.
Yeah.
And we can do 10 power. And the digital night vision, I think it's like 5, I think. Like a fixed 5.
Do you know if they do in the industry pricing?
I'm sure they do. I just asked Nick to borrow one of these things, but I can get you in touch with him.
Would you? Because I think I'd be interested in having one. Like if I could buy one.
Yeah, I'm sure they have industry pricing, man.
I've got a buddy that lives down in San Antonio area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a hunter.
Yeah, right. Either your name's Hunter. I know it's kind of funny.
Right. And good gracious. And he had mentioned to me about, he's like, man, I want you to, I told him I was doing subsonic 4570.
Right.
And he was like, why don't you come down here to Texas and shoot pigs with me?
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome.
And I was like, oh, you know, I appreciate it, man. I'm just, you know, now that's what he does for a living. He's got a great big old area that he's secured permission.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you know, man, I mean, I would, but I'm just not into shooting animals. And he said, Hunter, let me explain something to you. He said, these hogs,
they destroy shit.
He's like, they're killing birds' nests. They're killing, you know, like any animal that nests on the ground. They're destroying that. They're destroying the deer population. They're destroying the crops. He said that they're really.
They're like a plague, man.
And they're so aggressive. Yeah. That anything that moves, they kill it. Even if they don't eat it, they'll kill it.
Yeah.
And he's like, he said, you would be doing a humane service to the other animals.
Yep.
And so something like, and he's like, look, you can eat the meat if you want. And he's like, well, you know, we usually call, you know, 30, 40, 50 in an evening.
Right.
He said, but if we get a good one, you know, we'll butcher it up. Or a lot of times what they do is the ones they kill, they haul back and put them in the freezer and donate them.
I've heard from guys from Texas that they've had so many that like food banks don't even want us anymore. Yeah. They'll really just make a pile and just burn them.
Oh, wow.
Because there's too much.
He said, well, they're like food banks they donate to, but he said also individuals they know that eat that meat.
Right.
Like, we'll pile them up in the freezer and call them, and they'll come by and pick and choose what they want.
And I think, too, a guy like that would probably know the difference, but I think you don't want to eat the really big ones. You don't eat the males that are huge. You don't eat the females that are huge. There's a certain size. Like, they know what they, you know, what's truly edible versus other stuff that'll be, I don't know, maybe be gamey or tough.
Hard. He showed me it. So he's got a YouTube channel. I knew you were going to ask me that.
You're like, shit, I don't remember.
And it's actually really good, man. So he sent me a video of he shot a hog with a 7.62x39.
Okay.
Like six times.
Oh.
And it was still grazing.
Holy shit.
Like, you could see him hit the animal.
Right.
Puff up. And the hog, he would look up and look around and go back to eating.
That's insane. 7.62x39 is a solid cartridge, too.
Yeah. They're not trying to be inhumane. He's taking good, humane shots on these.
Right, people. Right.
But they're just so damn tough.
God.
Let me.
At the very least, if you don't send it to me later so I can put, like, in our notes, link to his YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's a great channel.
See, really what I'm thinking, Hunter, is this sounds like a thing that you and I need to go down then to Texas, like in the fall when it's not god awfully hot down there, and it's fairly nice and the hogs are still out. We can, you know, whack some of these things.
Bro, I think that I would love it. I'm probably going to take my 4570. Lever gun, and then, you know, I might try something cool like a Swift.
And see, in my mind, I'm thinking I'd take 300 blackout. A good 300 blackout, you know, with a good subsonic, you know, ballistic tip, soft pointed, you know, pick your poison, you know. I think like Hornady's my first game of thought, you know, I think of the little plastic tipped, you know, rounds, just something that's going to hit, expand, you know, or whatever. I don't give a shit, but that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And I thought about doing that. I think my 300 blackout, I don't do jack with it. I think I have a little like a aimpoint T2 style dot on it. I think I might actually even pop it off and throw it on this thing. But the first bit, I might just throw this thing on a HP15 because why not? You know.
Anything that you want to try, I think, would be certainly well worth it. And you can learn, you know, how well does your ballistics work on these critters?
Right.
They're super tough, man.
Yeah, that's crazy hearing he put that many rounds in 762 by 39. That's that's crazy.
And, you know, he's like, the reason is these animals are so tough. He's like, a lot of them are, you know, hitting and not penetrating or now, I don't know what, like, he knows, so I'm not going to say.
You're good. We're not experts.
Let's say not on this.
Right.
But I'm trying to find – I'm looking up his – anyway, I was looking up his YouTube. If you're into that, it is absolutely worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely try to find it. Send it to me later so I can put our notes so we can have to share out there for the whole 10 people that listen to this, but whatever, you know.
Hey, whatever, man.
Hey, Tony listens to it. My buddy Tony Simon. It was funny. He called me the other day, and usually, we'll text message, we'll message on Instagram, you know. So he's actually phone calling me. I'm like, that's different. I was like, what's it, man? You good? And he's laughing. I was like, okay, clearly good. I was like, what's up? He goes, man, fucking Father Time. Referring to you.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Because he's actually a couple years older than you.
Okay.
He was literally just laughing at an argument we had on the one of the episodes I'd thrown out there. I think it was talking about, I think he went off on a tangent about revolvers to a degree or something.
Oh, yeah. Me? Going on a tangent?
Yeah. You go on a tangent about much anything? Yeah, no, I wouldn't imagine that.
No, that's impossible.
But he thoroughly enjoys listening to our bullshit.
Well, you know, Michael with Range Tool.
Mm-hmm. He tagged us on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that. That
about,
was cool.
About listening to us. And I think I also saw a comment, Barrett, about him telling me, like, God help me having to put up with you.
What does he know?
You're right. You're right. He doesn't know you like I know you.
Oh, Lord. Who does? I mean, nobody. Not even my girlfriend.
Oh, shit. Whatever.
Oh, man.
Let's see. If I had anything else going on, I think that was kind of like the main things I wanted to hit up on you. I told you I printed a Magwell. I printed a Magwell for one and the AR-15.
Photo of that.
Well, that was a particular one. That's for the my MCX because this Magwell is different.
Okay.
And like, here's the thing. I 3D printed these Magwells simply because I can. I have a 3D printer, so why not? But honestly, Magwell on AR, it doesn't feel all of that necessary to me.
Okay.
I mean, if it's your jam, you like run and go for it. Like, I remember back in the day, somebody would give me a big, huge two-piece clamp-on one that was like an IPSC-style one for three-gun. And it looked god-awful to me. And I was just kind of like, you know, it's a big funnel, big mouth. I'm like, but I just don't feel like I need it. Now, that being said, I don't have a problem with Magwells on certain guns. Like, I have a couple 1911s. They're single stacks, like traditional ones. They have a Magwell. I think Magwell is fantastic on a 1911. Give me your FUD thoughts on a 1911 Magwell. Is that too much?
Oh. All right.
He's thinking hard here.
No, I've got a retort. Before I get into that, it's called Lone Star Boars.
Oh. That's the YouTube thing?
Lone Star Boars.
Text that to me if you would please.
Yeah. And he films his night vision. And they've got a little side by side with belt fed machine guns.
Oh, that's awesome!
And they film them going through and just, you know,
that's awesome,
as you might imagine. And then of course, and they've got a lot of good footage like that of them hunting. Yeah, Lone Star Boars, Todd Huey, guy's a damn genius. But anyway, so I'm not opposed to a Magwell in 1911 if it's not like a funnel. You know, if it ain't.
So saying if it's like this is okay.
Yeah, so that's the Dan Weston specialist. Am I wrong?
I have no idea. I just was looking first. I mean,
that's a Dan Weston specialist.
Okay, so again, but you solidified the question of, you know, a Magwell like that, you're okay with that.
As long as you understand your limitations. And by limitations,
so
I mean
that's a Magwell. My 1911s have Magwell like that, so it's almost it fits very flush. You know, it does restrict some of the magazines a little bit of
that's what the limitation.
Base pads.
Right. You have to run base pads,
Right. Well, you have to run thin base pads. You can't run widened base pads.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. So, you know, like this is getting a little bigger gamer magwell like there.
And yeah, that, you know, that's going to limit the kind of magazines you can run.
Right.
So as long as you understand you got to run, you know, a good, reliable magazine with a nice, thin, wide, not wide, but a right. big, aggressive, thick magwell.
Right.
Is that a tech well?
I have no idea. I'm just randomly clicking ones for images.
Tech well makes a really good one.
I mean, so now this is like your magwell for a 2011. So it's a little bit bigger because it's mounting in a whole external nature of your grip. And that's where these, I think, it depends gun to gun to gun.
Sure.
I mean, because I have one on, I bought one for my Springfield Echelon, and it's a little more, I don't know, man. I almost call it like a carry magwell. You know, one of my favorite magwells, honestly, is Magpul did one for their Glocks. It's on my 34. It's like a carry magwell. So it doesn't like really kick out more from the grip. But it does give you more funneling ability. So if you're, you know, at a funky angle, it's going to straighten it up. And I think that can make it faster and better.
Anything you can do to stack the deck in your favor, I think is a great idea. As long as you train with it
right.
and understand what limitations it may impose.
I'll be honest. I'm impressed right now. I thought you were going to be like, magwell, fud, blah, blah. I think that's a really solid point.
I get it. And I tell you what, and you know what, man, I'm going to tell you what taught me that, I've shot 1911s my whole life. That's my go-to gun. And I've taken a lot of classes and I've run a lot of 1911s. And I took a defensive handgun class right after I got that Dan West specialist.
Right.
And a lot of the drills were timed.
Right.
And so I learned that not that a timer puts the kind of stress on you that, you know, an unpleasantness would, but a timer does add a modicum of stress.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does.
And absolutely. I learned when you're doing that, you bring your gun into your workspace, you really don't want to be looking at your gun. You want to kind of be looking at what's going on,
mm-hmm.
unless you're behind cover or concealment.
Right.
But if you're like, you know, a lot of times in the class, he would make us download three magazines to three rounds.
Right.
And it'd be a 9-round, you know, drill. But you would have to, you know, slide lock.
Yep.
And the instructor's watching you to make sure you're not doing this.
Right.
You know, he's like, bring it into your workspace. And you could kind of use your periphery, but
exactly.
But eyes down range.
Yeah, you're still focused on that. It's just here, but my peripheral, I can still see that I'm doing it right.
And that magwell, when I took that class with that specialist, I was surprised. Even a small little error of me putting the magazine in,
right?
It would act like that funnel.
Yeah, and no, it's I think 1911s absolutely is a huge benefit in that sense. I've run 1911s. You know, in matches without and with, and I say it's damn near like required with because it is for that faster reload.
It is. I can't argue with
it. But when it comes to like an AR, like this one I'm showing you here, I don't know. I may have done enough rifle reloads that I've never fumbled it that bad where I felt like I needed this thing. And this company, like they sell these magwells. I think they're pretty solid, but I found a 3D print file that was very similar.
Yep.
So yeah, why not print it and try it? You know, I can't print it in better material. I've actually printed the MCX one in ABS plastic, so it should be pretty durable. But
that's pretty heavy duty stuff.
But it doesn't really like even just doing like dry reloads, dry firing at damn near. It doesn't really feel like it's making anything faster or better. So I'm not like sold on the idea on the AR platform. Now I'll tell you, when I was running that 5.56 AK a couple years ago, there was a company that makes a really slick polymer magwell, and I was like, yeah, let's just give this a shot. And that thing, kind of like the 1911, man, the amount of air it took out, because you know AKs, they got to be straight, you know, between straight with your angle, straight with your, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, with your receiver, not perpendicular to it, but even with your receiver, but obviously yeah, you get to rock it in, but if you're like cocked a direction or two, you're not going to rock it in for nothing.
Right.
And man, this Magwell dude, like,
it mattered.
I could tell you doing like one reload once the buddy on an AR, I didn't necessarily beat him. Let's hit a malfunction, but I was toe to toe with him. He was breaking his shot off the reload just shy faster than I was. And that was coming in, locking it in, and had to charge it and fire. So I'm like, the Magwell on an AK makes a huge difference.
So would you say bone stock for reloading the AR has an advantage?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No. Bone stock, the AR is one of the greatest rifle platforms ever.
I agree with that.
Bone stock. I mean, everything else followed has copied it. Look at the MCX. It's a copy.
Oh, yeah.
The current new versions of the Bren that Brunel's is doing is a copy because you use Stainag mags. You know, you get H&K left the G36, which was still kind of straight in, but kind of a rock and lock. I've handled one a long time, to the 416. So it's an AR. Why? Because it's that damn good. I mean,
so I hate to do this to you, Dave.
Oh, here we go.
I hate to, man.
But here we go.
You have, I'm sure, if not more, at least equal to or maybe more experience than I do with an AR-15. But probably similar. But you have more experience than I do with an AK.
Okay.
So, you know, to dredge up an old trope, if you will, the cliche of cliches.
Okay.
AK versus AR.
AR, hands fucking down.
Really? That quick? You didn't even think about it.
Hands down. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know.
I agree. But I remember
enjoying, you know, watching History Channel do their little show videos. We're talking like, I don't know, mid-90s, late-90s, even in the 2000s, where they would show like different guns of the world. And number two was always the M16, not the AR-15, but the M16. And number one was the AK-47. Because, oh, the AK, it's so simple, so reliable. It's so robust. It's like, it's steel. That fucker can rust. What's going to rust on an AR? Your barrel, your bolt.
Well, yeah, but you know,
your receiver's not. I mean, your receiver's all aluminum.
The bolt is nitrite coated or parkerized and oiled, it ain't gonna rust.
Right. So that's the kind of things I come back to. It's like
a rusted barrel would not prevent putting lead down range.
But I'll continue to say from those videos of that era, sure, the AK probably still was the more reliable, not accurate, not better, but more reliable gun. But now, as much as we've pushed and developed the AR in the 2000s, and how many more outfits have dumped whatever their gun was and gone to an AR platform, like the French, they ditched the FAMAS, and what they go to, a 416 H&K. It's still an AR. It's a piston, but whatever. It's still an AR. All of its controls, it's still an AR.
Right.
That's the Germans. That's what they're running. They're running an AR. They don't even run the G36 anymore. They sell that shit to other countries to run. The AR platform is absolute king.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I agree with that 100%.
But now, I do like to say, if you're an AR guy, does that mean you should be ignorant on AKs? Absolutely not. You should have one. You should have one. You should know how to run it. It is a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's not hard. I mean,
it's different.
I totally trust and rely. I have four. The last two rifles I have, a 7.62 and a 5.56 AK. They're absolute shooters. If shit hit the fan, I had to grab those, I'd have no problem with it. None whatsoever. But I'd rather have an AR.
So I don't want to get caught up in tropes here, man, but sure, it's hard not to. And you have a wealth of information. You've been a shooter for a long time, a real shooter, as well as, you know, a respected member of the gun industry.
Thanks. That's funny.
It's true. It's fucking true. So, okay. You know, Liz, we should take a moment and think about the poor fellas in Texas, all the people in Texas, you know, and, you know, that's God awful. It's horrible. I can't imagine what they're going through.
No, not at all.
But, if you could try to derive anything from this, it's got to at least make you think. Now, I realize, you know, these awful floods, they had very little to no warning.
Right.
And I'm certainly not trying to discount that whatsoever. I've been praying for those people. I can't imagine how bad it is. But, you know, something Candy brought up, not really related to this, but it made her kind of think about natural disasters in general.
Right.
If you had a hurricane, you had a power out, you had something, and for some reason, you know, we've always talked about bugging in, and that's right. Ideal.
Yeah.
But in the event, Dave, and this is a really, and I'm just bringing this on you, in the event you had to bug out, space is limited. You know, you got your SUV, you can put some stuff in it. But, you know, give me 3 rifles and 2 handguns and 1 other. So that's 6. Give me 6 guns that if you're like, this is all I can take, I'm grabbing 6 of my guns.
You know, it's funny, like, so I do kind of like the practice of some magazine commonality. AR-15, not a problem. Magazines are fucking everywhere. Every police department, every person. There's some people have ARs. So I don't care if I grab my MCX, my HK, or an actual AR-15. That's going to be one of those rifles because of the magazines. Handgun part gets a little trickier. With some of my closest guys I shoot with, if shit's getting that bad, we literally, you're going to like, oh, God, laugh, roll your eyes. All 3 of us run HKs.
Okay.
9mm. So we all have a shit ton of magazines between the 3 of us. That would absolutely be one. And the other one would probably be a Glock that takes Glock 17 mags because I have a 34. Because of that.
And Glock 17 mags would, you know, be readily available.
Now, is the 19 probably better because it can take both mags? Yeah, but I hate the grip on it, so I'd never own one. I can't stand the grip on it, so I'll deal with 17. If I start finding Glock 19 mags, I guess what? I can probably pick up somebody's Glock 19 at that point. Well,
so that's 3, man. You're talking about, you know, an AR pattern rifle.
Yep.
And you're talking about your HK.
Yep.
And then your Glock. So yep. That's 3. Or would you just be like, this is the 3 I need and I'm not taking another notes?
I think it'd really be actually one of those, I'd outfit the wife with something, you know. I mean, and I would outfit my kid with something as well. I trust him.
Sure.
You know, so I could literally I could triple this whole scenario. You know, I would give her a rifle and a pistol. I give him a rifle and a pistol or a rifle and a shotgun, and I could take, you know, Shiny as well. You know, issues with that.
Pretty good. But God forbid that ever happens.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't want people to think I'm trying to cheapen an event, but it's triggered a number of people to think, oh my God, you know, something could happen to where I can't, I've got to go.
Right.
And you know, when you hear a natural disaster like that, if it can make you think or plan, then perhaps, if it sparks something in you that could save you or your family, then maybe that's something that you benefited from. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't want
no, I
think I'm trying to cheapen what happened. Right.
So this officer tooth getting really loose. Let me pull it. No. Want Hunter to pull it? Hunter, pull your tooth. it's right there. Look at the cams there.
Just
to show you her loose tooth.
I can almost get it. Tooth fairies will come to you soon.
All right. Get out of here. Get to bed. Well, see, he can hear you. Say hi.
Hi.
Say hi, Hunter.
Hi, Hunter.
And the dozens of people listening.
He's sitting in the dozens of people listening. All right, you go to bed.
Oh, my Lord. God almighty, I can't believe how big she is.
So, yeah, did you ask me 3 guns? Is that what you said?
Well, I was thinking, you know, I mean, 6. I wanted to.
Okay.
You know, so, all right, so you listed your 3. Hey, these are it. You got a little bit of space. You got 3 more options. Do you?
I'm a shotgun. And at this point, I have an 870. I trust the 870. But also lately, I've been putting so many rounds through the 1301, the Beretta, the semi-auto. Yeah, that thing's awesome. It's got a full set of iron sights on it. So if I really need to take precise aimed shots with the irons, if the dot failed, it's got them. I've run buckshot, birdshot, and slugs through it. It's a phenomenal gun. It really is. Yeah, I think the 1301 shotgun.
Okay.
I mean, and If it to the rifle, I'd probably grab my MCX because it's a shorty, and then I'd probably grab one of my ARs that has an LPVO on it just for a little more range to it. Just that simple, you know.
All right. That sounds like a pretty good, you know, pretty good ideal type situation where you've got a lot of commonality with magazines, ammo.
I mean, I guess the standpoint to say is, yeah, it wouldn't be one of my AKs if I'm bugging out, you know. But bugging in wise, yeah. So I absolutely would use my AKs to have them set up as a defensive position and then fall back to an AR.
My father, bless his heart, he bought surplus 7.62x39.
Yeah.
And he bought it 1,000 rounds at the time. And he was buying 1,000 rounds for like $80.
Oh, God.
Now, we're talking about probably the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
And it was just military surplus bullshit.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It would come in 20-round boxes wrapped in like a big old plastic bag.
Yeah.
Maybe it was $100. I don't know. But it was just cheap. Now, it was all obviously steel cased.
Just fine. Steel case ammo is great.
You know,
because otherwise, I'll argue with you.
You know. I don't have a problem. Now, I wouldn't shoot it through my nice guns.
So why not?
Because steel on steel, hard versus hard, it will.
It's not like it's the same steel.
I know, but
it's not the same steel.
It's going to wear more than brass.
Marginally. At the extent of the money you save in using brass, you can be replacing your extractor.
Okay.
Yes, your barrel life will be fractionally reduced. But come on, man.
Yeah, but you know me. I'm weird about my shit. I all that Barnell stuff that you sent me, I shot that through ARs, not just Colts. I mean, not no, really.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm not asking you to counter defend it, man. I have my sense on Barnell, and I'll always stay on it. I mean, I have almost 30,000 rounds through my ACR between two different barrels. Not that one shot out because I have two different lengths.
Right.
And flawless.
30,000. That's a lot.
Well, part of it, because I got lucky, we had a remember Hornady had their steel match ammo?
I do remember that.
That was actually Barnell steel case. I can't remember how it all worked out. It was a Hornady bullet, Barnell's casing, and I can't remember whose powder it was. If it was Barnell's or Hornady's. But I remember there was this time Hornady had called us and said, hey, we had an entire lot of this steel case 223 that wouldn't cycle. It was in the Ruger's piston AR at the time, which was pretty new. So the whole lot can't be sold for retail because of that. And I think it was Jason Hornady. He called Charlie and was like, hey man, do you want some of this? And he's like, you know what? How much is it, man? Let me get back to you. And he's like, yeah, take your time. Charlie calls me. He's like, hey Dave, you think this is a good deal? I'm like, what? How many rounds are in a bucket? Like 4,000 rounds loose in a bucket. I was like, how many does he have? And he was like, I don't know, it's an entire lot. I went, buy all of it. And he goes, really? You think so? I was like, dude, I got enough friends. We can move it. If you need to move it, I'll buy a shit ton of it too. And he was like, oh, okay, all right, fine. So he called Jason back. He's like, I'll take the whole lot.
Do you have do you have any idea how many rounds that was?
Dude, I can tell you that's how I put damn near 30,000 rounds through my ACR because I had gone through that much of that Barnell steel case.
Wow.
Yeah. I shot that shit everywhere. It was fantastic. And then and even when that burned out, then we were bringing Barnell ammo, so I continued to shoot Barnell ammo through my ACR. And it wasn't until Remington completely folded that I kind of safe queened the ACR and bought the MCX, and I fed the MCX a shit ton of Barnell as much as I could. But I get it, man. Just long, you don't turn your nose up to steel case. So that's okay. You can have your reservation on it.
No, I don't.
It's when somebody turns their nose to steel case of, I don't shoot steel through my AR. And then I want to go, what's your AR? A fucking Ruger $500 AR.
Well, get
that dude, you know, shoots a fucking steel case. You ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but I've got a couple match grade rifles.
I understand that.
That I don't shoot. But like my 6920. You know,
Would you shoot Barnoul's match ammo through that? It's either zinc or brass coated steel case.
No. I've shot. I can't tell you how much Barnoul ammo out of my Colt 6920.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if you had a match rifle, you wouldn't put steel case through. But what if it was one of their zinc or brass coated casings that were designed typically for match cartridges that they produced? Still turn your nose up to it a little bit.
You know what, man? What okay. I like running those rifles is shit that I load. And it's okay. It's a okay. Hornaday. You know, I like Hornaday or I like Hornaday brass a lot. I like Starline brass a lot. Federal brass is good. The Priva Partisan brass is shit. Winchester brass is okay. Remington brass is okay. But, you know, I got about two or three different manufacturers of brass that I go to that I prefer.
Right. Okay. I get that.
You know,
like I said, I've sent you Barnoul. I know you run through your shit, so I'm not going to harp on you for anything like that. I'm totally down with that.
It was fine. I mean, it was good stuff. I had zero problems with it. It ran fine. From what I could eyeball, it didn't accelerate wear whatsoever on any of my parts. So, I'm sure that it would take some microscopic, lab to look at it and compare and contrast. This is what it was brand new.
Well, that's what kills me on the internet perpetuating bullshit like this. It's like, I wouldn't put that because it's going to hurt my gun. Like, my God, dude, no, it's not. Like, first off, you're forgetting the AR-15 and the AK. They're both built to be disposable guns.
Right.
And I'm sorry, if you think because you paid X amount of dollars for X brand, it's still not a disposable gun, you're wrong.
Right.
I have a SIG MCX over there. It's an expensive ass gun. Guess what? It's still going to be built to be disposable. It's quick change barrel for a reason. You know,
technically, all guns are just they're wear items. They're disposable.
Yeah.
You know,
people act like they buy this one gun and it's going to last forever. Yeah, last forever. You don't shoot the fucking thing,
right?
I mean, but
if you use it, it's going to wear out. You know,
it's funny, and like people act like they hear one report on the internet of. What barrel life is, man. Okay, fine. It's cool. I get it. People, you put out, a spec of what your barrel life should be. It doesn't mean it's going to die at that point. I mean,
right.
Talking to Charlie Brown, his dad's 1911 from the Korean War and his M1 carbine. Charlie goes, dude, my dad's handed me buckets upon buckets of ammo over those things. He goes, I don't know how the rifling hasn't been shot out yet. He goes, I shot so much, killed so much shit with those things and they're still fine.
Right.
So it's like, I guess the main takeaway is people chill out. When you hear the specs on this stuff, chill out. Back off the internet, chill out.
I think that's a good point. Chill out. Lucky Gunner did a study. And
on the AR brass case, steel case thing?
Yes. Yeah,
I've read that and watched it. And
it was like the amount you saved in money was more, significantly more than what it cost to replace parts at Felt.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there you go. Shoot the shit. Now, granted, let me backpedal a little bit though. Since you can't get Barnoul in this country anymore, or Tula, whatever's out there is out there. And most American made stuff I've seen is absolute garbage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's garbage. The Russians are the kings of it. Now, I don't know if there's some other comblock countries that the Russians help set up. Maybe if you can get their steel case stuff, it's okay. But any of the American steel case stuff, it's garbage. It's hot garbage.
Is it the steel? Is because I mean, steel.
I have no idea. It could be the metallurgy. Could be they're coating it with. Like Winchester had some. They had their steel forged stuff, and
That didn't last long at all.
No, because it was shit. It didn't work. And it could be their wall thickness is too much. I have no idea. No. All I know is I know multiple people that ran it, and everyone said it was absolute dog shit.
Okay, well that's good to know. So not all steel ammo is the same.
No. No, the Russians have that down to a science because they had steel case.
You think about what if maybe perhaps Wolf and Barnoul and them, they're alloying their steel to be a little softer.
Could be.
And then they're coated, like Wolf coated everything with this like.
Well, hold on. You're mixing up some words there. Wolf does not make ammunition. Wolf private labels it. Wolf private label Tula ammo and Barnoul ammo.
What?
Yes, they don't make ammo. I think their brass stuff is PMC, I think, or some of it is. But no, if you look at, if you have any old Wolf laying around,
I don't.
Now I say, I know I don't either, but you look at the head stamp and it's either Tula or Barnool.
Get out. So
or whoever else they've imported ammo from.
So I didn't know that because I've never, I'm not going to say never. To my knowledge, I've never bought or shot Wolf ammo.
Right. Now I bought tons of it because it was cheap because it was steel case.
And you remember Silver Bear?
Silver Bear is Barnool also. It's private label. Really? Silver Bear, Gold Bear, Brown Bear, it's Barnool. The Academy stores had Monarch, had steel case. That was Barnool, private label.
Wow.
So what we did when MKS brought in the Barnool, it was because we were pushing the Barnool name exclusively.
Right.
They still had their private labels, like I said, the Brown Bear, Silver Bear, Gold Bear. And then because Wolf was pissed. Wolf was pissed that they were selling to us because it was cutting into some of their ammo they were buying.
Uh-huh.
But Wolf, I know, uses Tula. I'm pretty sure Wolf uses Tula and Barnool interchangeably. And Tula, here's the thing. Tula is completely different from Barnool. And what I say by Tula is, I don't think it's as consistent as Barnool was. And to the point where if I found an AR in particular we're talking about here, if I found an AR that wouldn't feed Tula, guess what I did? I'd quit feeding it Tula. Never again. But if I had a gun that would feed Tula fine. Feed Tula all day long, and it was fine. You know, I had a bunch of 77 grain. That was my dad's. And my guns I knew ran Tula in general, ate that shit up.
But you there's guns that wouldn't run Tula that would run everything fine?
I'd have some ARs that would run Barnool, but they would not run Tula. Why? I don't know. Maybe the powder charge difference. You know, again, yeah, we can say it's all samey spec, but it doesn't really matter. It's you come from the country like that. They say it's the spec, but
yeah, but good luck.
I know. I've shared a story before. My uncle, he used to work for the U.S. government, checking arms storage and transportation all around the country and the world, in fact. And he had always had a story that reminded me about British ammo. Yeah, it's NATO spec ammo, but it doesn't run right in DI guns. I mean, you can shoot it. It's going to dirty your AR up, you know, and you're going to get malfunctions out of it, you know, because it's just not built for the ARs. But if you're running the L85, it's just fine.
All right, so let me stop you real quick. For those that don't know, DI is direct infringement.
Right.
Which is the original design for the AR, not a piston gun.
Right.
Just in case somebody's listening, they're like, what is a DI gun?
Yeah. The difference is in DI and piston, like it's, I think the pluses and minuses have greatly reduced over the years. It was piston guns, I think, were always considered highly more reliable than the DI. But I think if you well maintain a DI gun, it's every bit as reliable and still more accurate and lighter.
Significantly lighter. And
I love my MCX. I love my 416, but they're heavier because they're piston guns as opposed to the DI, you know, setups.
Now let me ask you this. Do you find recoil on a piston gun a little more jostling?
No.
Similar to a DI gun?
Similar enough. I can tell you, like, thinking of my 416, because it is an AR buffer and all the systems the same. I don't notice a slight bit of difference. I will say the MCX, because it's more of an AR-18 pattern, so the recoil system is all contained in the receiver. There's no buffer tube. I noticed that one feels different, but that's more because of the lack of a recoil buffer tube.
Okay.
But to say it recoils any more or less, I don't notice it in the slightest degree.
I took a 2-day class at SIG Academy through Range Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And they furnished handguns, rifles, and ammo.
So you're running an MCX variant, I'm assuming, then.
Yeah, so I ran an MCX. I liked the rifle fine, but it recoiled, I'm not going to say more, but it was a different recoil impulse than what I was used to from a DI. And that was my first real experience with a piston AR.
And I'll throw that
pattern.
I'll throw that because of my guns, the ACR and the MCX, they both are more patterned off the AR-18 or AR-180 patterned guns.
Okay.
So that is the reason why I think they have a different recoil impulse, whereas the 416, it's a piston gun, but it's still an AR buffer tube that you have that whole action cycling.
Let me stop you again. I'm sorry. You're throwing out a lot of numbers. For those that are wondering, what is an AR-18? Because
Stoner's, I don't say successor, sequel design that didn't take off, but is honestly in every major rifle that's not an AR-15 or an AK.
Okay.
And I'll also really put it other than that because it's true.
Okay.
I mean,
and you're talking about Eugene Stoner.
Yeah, Eugene Stoner.
Okay.
Yeah. First time I pulled out the bolt and assembly on my ACR, I was like, I feel like I've seen this thing before. And it's from looking at photos of like the AR-18 or AR-180. And it was like, wow, that's very, very similar. I think the
what is that Celtic, is that a delayed roller delayed?
No.
No, not roller delayed, but it's a different, it has a different delay system than a cam. Like the delay on the AR-15.
No, it's still carrying a cam, just like an AR.
Same.
Similar, very, very similar.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Not interchangeable similar, no. Like you look at the ACR's actual bolt, it is slightly different. I don't think you could modify an AR-1 to go into it, but it's pretty damn similar.
Okay.
And same with the AR-18s and AR-180s. Or the G36 or the SIG MCXs. God, the SIG MCX, you pull that one's guts out, and holy shit, it looks even more like Stoner's, you know, AR-18, AR-180.
Okay. Why do you reckon I didn't take off?
Colt?
Because Colt licensed the AR-15.
Yeah, because Colt. Because, honestly, the AR-18, well, my personal opinion, the AR-18 is a great, it's a lighter gun, and it's a piston gun. But it didn't use Stanag mags, used different magazines. So that was in my opinion, it was cheaper to get set to produce them because it was sheet metal stamp, kind of more like an AK. But I think the AR at that point even was already cemented with the US government and shit. So it's like, that's it. It's the AR. But the fact that every other design out there now, it's not an AR or an AK. It's based off an AR-18, AR-180 design. They really are. It's crazy.
I would like to get something in before. I know you got to wrap this up early.
Yeah, because I got some animals to take care of. Friends and family.
But before we do, I had this was sent to me.
Okay.
Today, and it's about the uncommanded discharge on the P320.
Oh Jesus. I've kind of stayed out of that shit. I'm so sick of hearing about it.
I have to, but I did an interview. So I got a buddy of mine, and he teaches. He's a rifle and handgun instructor, but okay. I think he's also a bit of a gunsmith.
Okay.
So I got this sent to me today. I'm going to read this. Based off of what was sent to me, so I don't misquote. This is what I got. I'm not saying this is gospel. I'm telling you this was what was sent to me. FBI ballistics testing facility released a report that ended federal law enforcement use of the 6-hour P320, M17, and M18.
Ended their use of it. Oh, shit.
The FBI report concludes that the striker safety lock on these three models is unsafe and not fit for duty use. As a result of the study, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, and 15 other three-letter federal law enforcement agencies will terminate the use of SIG P320, M17, M18, and P365 9mm pistols. In the FBI's 100-page laboratory safety test report, high-tech examination devices were used to analyze faulty internal SIG safety mechanisms. The FBI lab used a high-speed X-ray camera to film SIG internal mechanisms failing, which resulted in uncommanded firings of these pistols. Now, before everybody gets all wrapped around the axle, this was sent to me today by a buddy of mine that I trust.
It's been floating around that letter. Okay.
So now I couldn't find any direct confirmation, but I also couldn't find anything that was denying it.
Right.
So how true is that?
But if I was listening 100%, though, I didn't hear that the military is not dropping it, just the FBI is. And
I didn't hear anything about that either.
But what's to say that's not next on the chopping block?
But I wonder, I wonder, you know, I did this. My buddy Quam, he reached out to me. And he's like, hey, man, let's do a video on the uncommanded discharge. And I'm like, I'm trying to stay out of it.
Right.
But then again, Dave, you know, as a gun writer, I'm supposed to be objective. And so I'm like, well, you know, all right, let's do it. I don't know enough about it to comment, because right. I had a P320 that was fine.
Right.
But he came and we did about a 7 or 8 minute video on it, and he expressed his concerns, and he said his words, I've witnessed it happen a few times.
Okay.
You know, where like a guy was holstering a gun, obviously, and it would go off, or a guy was drawing a gun and he goes, and it would, and he said, these were all shooters. And so, you know, I was like, okay. And then we talked about, you know, he went into what he thought it could have been, fouling, too much oil, incorrect clearances, incorrect tolerances, tolerance stacking. You know, he had a myriad of ideas.
Sounds like Glock made a better gun.
Well, there you go. And I was like, okay, you know, I didn't really interject a whole lot. And I posted the video. And, man, it got a lot of traffic and a lot of comments. And I'm going to say 80% of them were, yes, I have seen this and more. Here's a link to a video. Hunter, go look at this.
There seems to be too many actual videos of these things happening that
I sold my P320 and P365.
I told the one guy I can't say regular shoot with, semi occasion shoot with him. He has a 320 Legion, and I'll say this: that's one thing I'll say is, of all the stuff I've seen, I've not heard of the actual X5 Legions going off. Maybe they have.
Probably a whole lot fewer in the wild.
Probably. That's probably why. But still, the one buddy that has one, I was like, yo, dude, be careful. I mean, he's been out shooting with me and my guys before. We're running around doing dynamic USPSA style shit. But I'm like, be careful, man.
I took that Green Ops class, and it was two guys running 320s. And the instructor put both of those guys
on the far end.
Together on the far end.
Yeah, keep them away because they don't trust it.
And he's like,
that's not bashing SIG. That's just you making common sense cautions for your own business and safety for people.
The instructor's like, look, I'm not going to say it happens. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. I'm not taking a stance. I'm neutral.
Right.
But I know that because I was even like, when I saw, you know, when we had our little orientation, everybody was showing what they were shooting, and one guy's like 320, and you had about three or four students like, okay, put those guys on the end. You know, and about the third or fourth student that said that, the instructor was like, hey guys, and then now they had came together. He said, y'all are friends, you came together. I'm gonna group you together and I'm gonna put you on the far end.
Right.
And this is primarily to keep the other students comfortable.
Yeah.
And I will say that they watched, I'm gonna say they to be ambiguous, they were watched more than other students.
Sure.
Especially holstering and unholstering.
Sure.
And a lot of the students there were like, when the guys were like holster up, you would see the guy beside them kind of do one of these and
watch. Yeah, stepping away.
Yeah.
Make sure it's completely vertical, not at an angle canted in to holster. Right.
No, don't flag nobody. Yeah. You know, and like we got through the class, there were no problems, but you know, we got through the class. It was, I don't know, hell, it's probably 400 or 500 rounds. And everybody was like going by and patting the guys on the back. They're like, man, your gun made it through, didn't blow up or nothing.
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, you know how
it goes. Yeah, yeah.
We were fucking with each other, but
funny.
So, anyway, there's so much evidence out there. At least be conscious of it,
yeah,
and take appropriate measures. Would I carry a P320 appendix?
No, I wouldn't. And I carry appendix all the time.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't. No. Yeah, so like I said, I do need to run. We need to go. Yep. So let's close it off here.
That was the last thought I had anyway.
And so a couple things is if you need to find Hunter, you can find him at rangehot.com. Everything else links from there. If you need to find me, I'm at livefire-media.com. Hunter says my site's okay, but you can find all my links there too.
You know what? Go check it out. Whoever, go check out Livefire Media and look at it. And if somebody's got some feedback, there you go. But I think it's fun.
Yeah, post on YouTube. But beyond that, the end takeaways tonight, I think it'll be AR versus AK. Oh, it's the AR. If you, you say AK, you're wrong. And if you have a 320, not saying get rid of it, just please, please.
Be careful.
Peace. Good night.
Later, y'all.